Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. David Murray for Petitioner Comcast Corporation. This appeal involves a black box called the DCT-700. You can find a nice picture of it in the joint appendix at page 247. It's 5 by 6 inches, costs about $70, and it enables you to convert digital signals and use any analog TV in your house. You need one DCT for every analog TV you have. Now, if you live in DC, Arlington, or Montgomery County, and you subscribe to multi-channel video programming services from RCN or from Verizon, you can lease the DCT from either company for about $1 a month, and you can use it to receive digital signals on your analog TV sets. You also get a few additional features, like parental controls, electronic programming guides, and some video on demand.
Is that a special deal for this month for us?
You'll have to talk to those companies, Your Honor, because as I'm about to get to, I can't offer that for mine. The DCT will not give you high definition or HD television. It will not give you digital recording or multiple channel tuning, which is what you need for picture-in-picture. But if you're a Comcast customer in DC, Arlington, Montgomery County, you are prohibited by the FCC from obtaining the DCT. You will have to pay 2 to 4 times more per month to lease modified boxes for each analog TV that you own. And the same holds true across the country, where more than 10 million other cable and telephone company subscribers can obtain this box, but not a single Comcast customer can. So if you're a Comcast customer and you don't want to pay 2 to 4 times more than your neighbor, you have 3 choices. You can stick with analog, you can switch to a competitor, or you can drop cable service and obtain a taxpayer-subsidized box and receive digital over the air. This unlevel playing field results from the FCC's selective and arbitrary enforcement of its integration ban.
Is that a fair statement, the FCC?
Yes, Your Honor.
I thought it was the Bureau that permitted these other competitors.
Well, Your Honor, the chairman of the FCC has delegated every waiver request to the Media Bureau. It has granted 170, 95% of the requests.
Have you appealed any of those waivers?
No, Your Honor, because we...
The theory that it was discriminatory?
No, Your Honor, we agree with the granting of the waivers in those cases, and we agree with the FCC's rationale.
Nobody
for the
appealed, right? So it never got to the FCC?
No, Your Honor. But as you saw in the joint appendix, we put these Media Bureau orders before the full commission in asking it to review the denial of the Comcast waiver and said, how come all these other cable companies get waivers for the DCT, but we don't?
We held repeatedly that decisions by the Bureau that are not reviewed by the commission are not binding on the commission and therefore not binding on an arbitrary and capricious claim?
No, Your Honor. This court has looked to Bureau-level decisions in the Garrett case, for example, in the Northampton case that we cite, where it's necessary to track the policies and practices of the agency in granting waivers to parties. And if there's ever been a case for the court to do that, it's this one, because every single waiver request, 170 of them, have gone to the Media Bureau. It's the only place that you can look for the policies and practices of the agency. And we brought all of that to the full FCC's attention. And they attempted to distinguish those. But none of those distinctions were logical, rational, and it again underscores how arbitrary the treatment was here.
Counsel, may I make a suggestion just coming from one judge? I don't think it's a particularly wise thing in any brief filing to use statements like disingenuous and cynical and so forth. There's a lot of statements in your brief which are directed towards bad motives, and I think that tends to undermine the strength of your argument.
Well, I will certainly take that to heart, Judge Silberman. It I think, reflects a frustration, a degree of frustration that my client has
lawyers
felt.
Lawyers are never supposed to be frustrated.
That's right, Your Honor, and I probably should have toned that down, but it does reflect a degree of frustration. This has created a very unlevel playing field for Comcast, and the rationale that the commission has given for denying this waiver is that if we let you use the DCT, even though we're letting all these other cable companies and telcos use it, you would undermine retail competition and undermine the reliance on this separate security function that the integration ban requires, which is called a cable card. And so we think that in order to avoid those results, we're going to deny your waiver. But, Your Honor, if you look at what they said they would grant the waiver for, if we agreed to certain things, you can see how illogical that result is. Because the FCC said, if you'll agree to allow your customers to subscribe to specialty tier programming, like family or ethnic tiers, without subscribing to your basic services, then we would grant you a waiver to use the DCT. So in that instance, if we were to agree to what is basically a form of a la carte programming, then we would get permission to use as many of these boxes as we want for as long as we want. And the commission also said, if you would only commit, like some of these other smaller cable operators have done, to go all digital by February 17th, 2009, then you could use the DCT. You could use millions of them. Now, Your Honors, we have 10 million analog customers. If there is any cable company out there that needs a waiver to help achieve getting those customers to digital, it's Comcast. And the FCC has said, if you could do that in the next 10 months, have at it, use the DCT. But as we told the FCC, we cannot, in good faith, commit to that sort of arbitrary deadline. We have too many analog customers to try to move. And that deadline has no application to cable companies or their subscribers. That's the deadline Congress established for over-the-air broadcasters. At the same time, the Congress established a subsidy program for people to get boxes who are not cable customers or not multi-video channel don't get their services from other multi-channel video providers. And likewise, Your Honor, the Commission said, you know, if you just take the DCT and you strip out the two-way functionality, then you can go ahead and use the box. But 35 years ago, the FCC ordered the cable industry to start designing and deploying two-way systems. No one has ever used a one-way box. And stripping out the two-way capability is not going to affect the price. So basically what the FCC is saying, take this box, strip out all of the functionality so that it only converts digital to analog, and you can use as many of them as you want. Now, you're not going to put cable cards in it, so it's not going to do anything to promote cable cards. Nobody's competing for it, so it's not going to do anything to promote retail competition. And we're supposed to go out and say to a customer, if you're one of my customers, Your Honor, will you take this box and pay me more per month for your service, and put it on your TV and reconnect all your wires? And you would say, well, what do I get? Nothing. You get exactly the same service you had before.
Counsel, you've challenged the rule twice now, I guess. Why is your waiver argument any different?
It's very different, Your Honor. And Comcast has deployed more than 2 million set-top boxes that comply with the ban, that strip out the security, use the cable card feature. We are complying with the ban. We're not challenging the ban. What we're challenging here is whether the ban should be applied to this low-cost set-top option. And the FCC has already made the determination that it shouldn't in every case except ours. And in those cases, for Bend Broadband, for Verizon, for more than 140 other cable companies and telcos, the FCC has said, you know what, your continued use of this box, and I'm going to quote from their order in the Bend Broadband case, continued use of the DCT, quote, would not undermine the goal of a competitive navigation device market and would have a direct and immediate impact on the cable company's migration to an all-digital network. And the FCC went on to say, this will free up spectrum and increase service offerings such as HD. And then the FCC went on and rejected intervener CEA's arguments that the waiver would harm retail competition and common reliance on cable cards. The FCC instead found that enabling the cable company to provide more HD content would create, quote, greater incentives for its subscribers to acquire digital TV sets, which helps the consumer electronics manufacturers. So that, Your Honor, is in fact what the record has shown in each of these other cases. There'll be no harm to retail competition. No one is competing for these low-end devices. These devices are going to go the way of cassette tapes and 8-tracks. When your analog TV gives out, you're not going to go buy another analog TV. You're going to get an HD TV. The DCT 700 is not going to work for you at that point. So these are going to go the way of a dinosaur. But in the interim, they're critical. And the FCC has said, yes, they're critical to the ability of a system to migrate analog customers to digital, to reclaim valuable spectrum that can then be used for more HD programming, for other improved services, and that's what's going to generate the public interest in going out, as the FCC said, and creating greater incentives for consumers who can afford it to go out and get HD TVs. But we're left out in the cold. And it is not a fair result. It's not a logical result. And that's part of why we've expressed some frustration. And again, I apologize if we went over the line, Your Honor. Now, the other aspect of why it has been a frustrating process for Comcast is that under Section 629C, the FCC is supposed to rule on these waiver requests within 90 days. And Congress said, you shall grant a waiver when it's necessary to assist in the development and introduction of new and improved services. And Congress went on to say, we don't want you to skew competition and create an unlevel playing field when you do this. So if you grant waiver relief, you shall make it available for all providers in the same category. Now, when we filed our application, we did it in April 2006, 15 months before the integration ban was scheduled to go into effect. We didn't get a ruling from the Media Bureau until 9 months later. We immediately took that to the full FCC. It took another 9 months to get the agency to rule on it, well after the ban had gone into effect. And in this process, Your Honors, what the Commission has said, they have created a record that leaves no doubt that continued use of the DCT serves exactly the pro-innovation and pro-consumer objectives that Congress identified in Section 629C, that the FCC itself acknowledged in the 2005 order when it said, we're going to preserve a low-cost option for consumers because besides helping consumers, it's going to help cable companies reclaim spectrum so they can come out with more HD and improve services.
But the issue before us is whether the FCC's determination that this was not necessary for the introduction of new and advanced equipment was somehow contrary to law. And don't we have to defer heavily to the FCC's determination of what is necessary and what is not necessary?
Yes, Your Honor, but deferring doesn't require you to suspend all logic. And in this instance, what the FCC has said—
I'll concede that.
It is, thank you. If you will agree to migrate all your customers in the next 10 months by February of 09, then you can use the box. Then it is necessary for you to get all those analog customers over to digital. Well, we can't do it. It's impossible. But to say that because we can't meet that arbitrary deadline, that somehow we no longer need it, I mean, that's completely contrary logic.
They also determined that the product here is not a new product.
Well, you're referring now to the video on demand. And that's ironic, Your Honor, because they also told us when we were asking for the waiver, well, that's not a new and improved service. That's been around for years. Of course, what we're trying to put out, Your Honor, is video on demand HD. And we're in need of spectrum to be able to increase those offerings. That is something that is new and improved. That is something that the DCT can't give you access to on your television set. And so, and likewise, Your Honor, how is it that it would be okay and necessary to assist us if we would only agree to a la carte programming? So I think the court should take a full look at what's been going on here. The result is inescapable. If you're an RCN customer, if you're a Fios customer, but if Judge Silberman is a Comcast customer, you can use the DCT, you can't. You have to pay more. That's not good for you, certainly not good for Comcast, and it's certainly not good policy.
Thank you, Mr. Murray.
Good morning. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Matthew Berry, representing the Federal Communications Commission. I think that what's notable about Mr. Murray's argument today is he has very little to say about the reasoning that the commission used itself in its order that's under review in this court to deny Comcast's waiver. Instead, Mr. Murray largely complains about Bureau waiver orders that Comcast did not appeal to the commission and that are not before this court. With respect to this, the D.C. Circuit's precedent, as Judge Silberman noted, I think it is very clear that in terms of judging the Commission's fidelity to its own precedents under both McLeod and most recently in Vernal Enterprises, one looks to other Commission precedents. One does not look to staff precedents. And I do not believe that Mr. Murray has cited any authority to the contrary that trumps that most recent precedent. While he mentions Garrett, for instance, which is a case back from, I believe, the 70s, in Garrett, the court was referring to the commission's precedent in not complying with earlier commission orders, not earlier staff orders. Moreover, even if one were to accept that the other Bureau orders are somehow relevant, Mr. Murray points to no inconsistency between the commission orders and those Bureau orders. Comcast admits in pages 37 and 38 of its brief that none of the rationales that the Bureau used to apply to grant waivers apply to Comcast. Now, moreover, even if one were to concede that there were an inconsistency between the commission orders and the Bureau orders, and we certainly do not, the question then becomes, what is the appropriate way of dealing with that? To the extent that there is an inconsistency between a commission order and Bureau orders, according to Comcast's theory, somehow the Bureau orders trump, and the commission is forced to act in a certain way because the Bureau has acted in a certain way. That allows the tail, I would submit, to wag the dog. To the extent that Comcast or other cable companies feel that there is an inconsistency between a commission-level order and Bureau orders, Comcast has a very simple remedy. It may petition the commission to revoke the Bureau orders. That way, it would allow the dog to wag the tail. In fact, if one looks at the concurring statement here by Commissioners McDowell and Adelstein, if Comcast were to choose to proceed under this rubric, it's likely they already have two votes for that proposition. So I would submit.
How would it benefit Comcast to intervene and oppose the waiver granted to someone else?
Well, Comcast.
They don't compete with each other. Each one has a local monopoly.
Well, Comcast claims, and I'll get this point in a minute, Your Honor, that it is at a competitive disadvantage because certain waivers have been granted and its waiver has been denied. If that's true, it would be in Comcast's interest, if it believes there's an inconsistency, to bring that to the Commission's attention and get its competitors' waivers reversed, because then this competitive disadvantage that Comcast is claiming would be taken away. Moreover, I just would like to point out that with respect.
In what sense do they compete? Where do they compete?
Well, Mr. Murray made the argument that Comcast is competing in the D.C. area with RCN and with Verizon. And he's claimed that they're at a competitive disadvantage because of that competition, because of the disparity in the waiver treatments.
It would cause people to move from one community to another?
No, it would cause people to move from one system to another, right?
Are they both available at any location?
Yes. In the district, for instance, in Arlington, where I live, you can order either Verizon or Comcast.
Okay.
But I'm going to stop making Mr. Murray's argument for him for a moment and just point out that Mr. Murray made some claims here about how the prices that are being charged to Verizon and RCN customers are different than the prices that are being charged to Comcast customers. There's no basis in the record for those claims. We do not know to what extent Comcast is passing along any cost increase to consumers. And if I could move momentarily.
Before to the you move, I have a problem with your position that I'd like to see you address.
Okay.
In the 2005 order, mm-hmm. you indicated, the commission indicated, did it not, that it would allow waivers of low cost, even lower cost boxes.
Right.
Now, why is that position consistent with the commission's reasoning in this case?
Sure.
It was that under 629?
Our position is that was a manifestation of the Commission's general waiver authority.
Did it say in 2005 that it was operating under general waiver authority? Wasn't that whole 2005 order dealing with 629?
Paragraph 37 of the order, which you're referring to, doesn't specifically say whether or not it's Section
629. So you were calculatedly ambiguous about that because you knew that if you rested on 629, you were inconsistent?
No, I don't believe that it matters, Your Honor. And if I could go on to address paragraph.
Oh, well, let's assume it was under 629 then.
Well, I don't
argue it was under 629.
Right.
Aren't you inconsistent then in this court?
I don't believe that we are, Your Honor. In paragraph 37 of the...
Why would the permission for a waiver of the very low-cost boxes be legitimate but not for a slightly higher box on which there is a market niche and nobody's providing it?
Because, Your Honor, in paragraph 37 of the deferral order, the Commission was quite clear that the boxes had to be limited capability boxes. They could not include advanced capabilities. And these boxes do include advanced capabilities. In particular,
yes, but I don't understand. Why was that consistent with your overall policy under 629? Why was it consistent to allow the lowest box to come in on a waiver basis?
Oh, I think that there are two points to be made. One is that the Commission never stated in paragraph 37 of the deferral order that it was going to grant waivers. All it says is that they would entertain them. And I think that...
Wouldn't it be inconsistent to allow a waiver for the low-cost box, given the theory of the present order?
If it's a truly limited capability box, I don't believe so, Your Honor. Because to the extent that you have a low-cost limited capability box, it's a one-way device. There's going to be substantially less demand for such boxes than the two-way devices. There'll be fewer of those in the marketplace, and that undermines common reliance less. And I don't think
that's... But it certainly undermines common reliance, doesn't it?
I would certainly concede there's some undermining of common reliance, but there's a question of weighing the benefits and harms, and there's substantially more harm to common reliance when you deploy more of the integrated boxes, and there will be far more of these DCT-700s flooded into the marketplace than if it were a truly low-cost, limited-capability, one-way box. And I think that...
In other words, you'd allow a waiver on this very low-cost box because nobody's going to use it, so it's not going to have any impact.
Too many people would like the one that Comcast is offering, so they can't do it.
If you give people the option of the most price-sensitive customers who want, this gives them an option to get access to digital signals. If you give people no option but the two-way box, everyone's going to choose a two-way box. If you give people an option between the one-way box and the two-way box, some will choose the one-way box, some will choose the two-way box, so fewer people will choose the two-way box under that scenario. Moreover, I think that
that's
it's
true of all the companies, though.
Well, that is, and the one-way, the limited, low-cost, limited-capability waiver policy that the Commission has set forth is not a company-specific policy. It's a policy that's open to any company. And if any company chooses to take advantage of that, the Commission will seriously consider it.
What about the argument Council makes that the product that they would like a waiver on, there's a market niche there. Nobody's competing in this area at all.
I would have several responses to that. The first response is that...
Incidentally, the thrust of that argument is it won't have any undermining of the common reliance because nobody's ever producing this.
Right. I think that
none of its competitors, none of the manufacturers are producing this product.
I think that manifests a profoundly mistaken view of the benefits and goals of common reliance. The first goal of common reliance is to force the cable companies for all of their boxes, for a substantial majority of them, to rely on the same separated security solution that the consumer's electronics manufacturers have to. And the reason
unless it's a low cost box.
No. I have conceded, Your Honor, that under the paragraph 37 policy from the 2000 deferral order, there is some undermining of common reliance. But what I'm suggesting also is that under, to the extent you open up to more and more boxes, you get more and more undermining of common reliance, and one has to weigh the harms and the benefits from the waiver, and that's something that the court should defer to the Commission on. But with respect to common reliance, to the extent that Comcast puts into the marketplace millions more, and I think there's one estimate there'll be 3 to 4.5 million more would go into the marketplace each year, that substantially undermines common reliance. You're starting from a situation where 0% of Comcast boxes use cable cards when the integration ban goes into effect. Even if they put all cable card compliant boxes
into
the marketplace.
Isn't the integration ban in effect now?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
It went in effect about 6 months ago?
July 1st, 2007.
Got my box just in time.
So you have a slow increment in any event where a minority of Comcast deployed boxes will continue to be cable card compliant boxes. If you allow Comcast to continue flooding the market with cable card non-compliant boxes, you still have a situation where they're not exclusively or even primarily relying on cable cards for their security system, and the incentives to support the cable cards are not as strong. I'm not up here claiming that if we grant the waiver, there's no incentive for Comcast to support cable cards. Though the point in some of their devices, clearly there is some incentive. But what I'm saying is the incentive's not as strong when you're told for almost all of your devices that are out in the market, you're going to have to use cable cards. Then if the serviceman goes out and can't get the cable card to work, he doesn't have the fallback option of saying, well, here, we have this two-way box. So you don't even need a cable card for this. And that's what you allow them to do if you grant this waiver. Moreover, and I only realize I only have about a minute left, I want to address the Section 629C point on whether or not these devices are necessary to assist the introduction and development of new or improved services. Number one, Comcast Digital Services are available everywhere. At the time of the waiver request, 45% of Comcast customers subscribed to this service. It was already developed, it was already introduced into the marketplace. Number two, the Commission made the predictive judgment that absent of waiver request, Comcast would continue to transition from analog to digital in a rapid manner. Comcast has every incentive to get these two-way devices into consumers' hands because they make more money off of them. The cable industry has been consistent about how strong an incentive they have to transition to digital. If you look at JA113, which is an advertisement by Motorola for these devices, the DCT700, it touts its, and this is an exact quote, revenue-generating interactivity. Comcast is continuing to push these boxes and will continue to push two-way boxes into consumers' homes because it will make more money off of them. And in fact, as we showed at page 11 of the recent 28J letter we sent in, at post-integration ban, in the 6 months following the integration ban, Comcast converted over 1 million customers to digital service. This is hardly the problem that Comcast has made out for this court. The Commission reasonably denied Comcast waiver. I ask the court to deny the petition for review. If there are no further questions.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. I am Robert Schwartz on behalf of the Consumer Electronics Association. There is no reason that the DCT 700 or any other product furnished to the cable industry by its two major suppliers, Motorola and Scientific Atlanta, would not be relying on cable cards today, except for the forbearance or the patience with the cable industry that the Commission has shown. Common reliance is an essential element, as this court found less than 2 years ago, in implementing Section 629A. Section 629A conveys an extraordinary command from the Congress to the FCC, not to encourage competitive entry, not to establish conditions, but to assure in its regulations the commercial availability of competitive.
I was sort of curious as why some of your manufacturers take a different position than the association.
Well, on behalf of the association, I can assure Your Honor that the verification filed with our brief represented a very strong view of the association.
Was it Panasonic that takes
Well, view? Panasonic and Samsung indicated, said, well, we have some common reliance, maybe in balancing interests we can do without it all around, but we've been living in an environment in which we have been denied what the Congress essentially told the FCC to establish for the last dozen years. CEA's position was that common reliance should have taken effect in 2001 when cable cards first had to be distributed.
You think the real arbitrary and capricious action on the part of the FCC was all the delays?
We never found ourselves in a position to challenge it as such, Your Honor, because this has been a process of continued oversight. And yes, it's a commercial environment where some may lose patience and cut the best deal that they can. That's a reason that trade associations exist, to pursue the public policy goals irrespective of what may be some exigent commercial circumstances when you can't get a license. There's no way that any member of CEA can get a license today to make a product that's directly equivalent with the DCT 700. That's the problem that we had in 1996. That's the problem we had when the FCC acted in 1998. That's the problem we had on reconsideration when we urged the FCC to move the common reliance date up to 2001. It's the problem we had. It was the cable industry that appealed the deferral order. It was CEA's members that were the victims of the deferral, having to wait yet another year for common reliance. It's only been in effect since July 1st of 2007. We were without it for a dozen years. We asked the court, please do not deny us the benefits of a commercial incentive solution that we are finally receiving now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, the ban went into effect on July 1, 2007. The cable industry has deployed more than 4 million cable card-enabled devices. In Comcast's case, they're being leased to our highest revenue customers. We have every incentive to support cable cards and to make that function work. The notion that denying this waiver supports common reliance has been rejected by the FCC itself in granting other cable operators the right to use the exact same box.
Are you talking about the media? Are you talking about the Bureau or the FCC?
I'm talking about the Media Bureau, but the FCC had those orders in front of it when it affirmed the denial of our right to use that, Your Honor. But even if you put that aside, the Commission said, and this is critical.
What about the argument that counsel makes for the FCC, which I must say puzzled me too? Why haven't you petitioned for the Commission to revoke the orders of the Media Bureau?
We agree that the waivers should be granted. We agree that.
Well, but if you did that, you would force them to deal with the competitive question, which you appear to be so concerned about.
Well, that's the issue we put directly before the Commission on this order, Your Honor. We said, how is it that some of the.
No, you didn't. You tried to, but it doesn't work, or at least arguably it doesn't work. But you certainly could put it before them by petitioning for a revocation of the Bureau, the Media Bureau's approval of your competitors.
Your Honor, it took us 503 days to get a judicially reviewable order on our request, and by the time we would go back, by the time we would go back and try to get this turned around, who knows how many years are going to go by and how much competitive harm we're going to suffer. Your Honor, but I want to come back to this common reliance point, because that's the entire linchpin of the FCC's argument, and it absolutely falls apart. Because the FCC said, if you promise us to migrate all 10 million of your analog customers to digital by February of 2009, you can use as many of these boxes as you want. Not a single one of them has cable cards in it. Or if you will agree to a la carte programming, you can use as many of these boxes as you want permanently, and not a single one of them has a cable card in it. Or if you strip out two-way connectivity in your DCT, you can use as many of those as you want for as long as you want, and not a single one of them has a cable card in it. That is a pretext for treating Comcast differently from other companies.
In other words, you think they're trying to leverage you into something that they cannot require.
That's correct, Your Honor. The Commission has no authority to.
And if they ever did that, then you would have a ground to appeal or something.
Well, they've already tried it, and that's why we're here, Your Honor.
They've tried it.
That's right. They said that if we would agree to a la carte, they would grant us a waiver. They have no authority to use the waiver process Congress established in 629C. They found we've met the criteria.
Well, is that really before us?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
I'm not sure that is. I think if they did grant the waiver on that basis, then somebody might be able to challenge it.
But Your Honor, if they're withholding, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, counsel, I'm not sure it's before us now.
Your Honor, they're withholding the waiver because we won't agree to something they have no authority to impose. They have engrafted a condition that Congress nowhere placed in 629C. Congress said if they make an appropriate showing that this is necessary.
If an agency denies a waiver on perfectly legitimate grounds, let's say hypothetically, its reading of the statute is perfectly legitimate, but says we'll grant it under extra circumstances which are arguable, we have before us then the question of whether or not they're entitled to grant it on that other ground.
I think you have before it whether they have engrafted an unauthorized condition onto the waiver criteria that they're not applying to other companies, that Congress did not authorize them to put in.
The other company's argument is you're back on the Bureau.
Well, Your Honor, but that I don't know how the court can find when the chairman of the FCC has delegated every one of these waiver requests to the Media Bureau, that you don't look there, and we've put those decisions in front of the Commission in this case.
You don't know how we could find in favor of the FCC?
No, I don't, Your Honor.
We'll just have to struggle.
Well, Your Honor, I would come back to the point that they have, in fact, withheld this waiver from us because we can't do the impossible, because we won't agree to a la carte programming. And they've said, if you want to strip out and ask your customers to use a box that gives them nothing new, nothing more, and they have to pay more per month for the service, then you can get a waiver. Your Honor, it's unequal treatment. It's not good policy, and we believe it should be reversed, and we think the court should...
You may be right about it not being good policy.
Well, we think it's also unlawful, Your Honor.
Ah.
It is unlawful. I mean, the commission has... I think the court can look at what the commission has found about these boxes.
You have a unanimous view of the FCC on the order, do you not?
We have a unanimous view, and I can't reconcile the comments of the two commissioners with that view. And again, I would ask the court to take a hard look at what's going on here, the rationales that have been given, what they've said they would do to grant us a waiver, which completely undermines the analysis as to why they've withheld it, and what the effect is to in the real world to the Comcast customers.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Barry.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you. Case is submitted.
Stand, please.